Hey folks, welcome to my talk. My name is Matthew Rabinowitz, or Matt Rabinowitz, Matt Matthew. I am a technical evangelist with Microsoft Canada. Just a bit of a background with me. This is my eighth year at Microsoft. I've been in various roles previously and in the evangelist role for the past year. And I'm here to talk today about really extending the experience of your app and making it alive. And doing that by using our live tile technology and our push notification technology and our toast notification technology that we've rolled into Windows 8. So just a couple things out of the way. Get social. So there's our Facebook link right there, as well as a Twitter link. You can use the Win8 PI, that is an I, not an L, in the hashtag if you want to discuss the sessions. As well, that's the hashtag specifically for this session code. And I warn you all, I checked Twitter, so say nice things, please. And Win8 PI, obviously. So what am I going to talk about today? Well, first, I'm going to take a look at tiles. So what do we mean by tiles, and why aren't we just calling them icons? Then I'm going to talk about really taking it to the next level and making these tiles alive and drawing your user into your application. And then I'm going to talk a bit about notifications, toast notifications, how to get notifications to the user quickly, and as well using our push notification infrastructure for both tile and notifications. All right. So, what do we mean when we say make your app alive with activity using tiles and notifications? One of the things we've introduced with Windows 8 is this concept of live tiles. And really, if you think about it in relation to other platforms, it's really more than just an icon. The tiles are alive, they move, they draw users into your app. And that's really one of the concepts that we want you to take advantage of. So if you think about it, if I'm staring at an icon on my desktop or on my application that represents my application, it's dead in the sense that it's my logo. And it's not showing me anything else besides the fact that I can launch the application and maybe my company logo, etc. But how do I extend that experience, and how do I make it so that rather than just showing my logo and the user going, I want to launch that application now, to showing some relevant information to the user to make them want to launch that app over and over again. So let's show you what I mean by live tiles. So this is the start screen. And you've all seen the start screen by now in Windows 8. And you could see what I mean when I say it's alive. There's activity. You see tiles moving. You see animations moving. You see graphics. You see images. And the whole reason behind that, again, is I just got tweet bombed by Paul LaBerge as well. As you can see, that's the beauty of live tiles. In action, actually. Thank you, Paul. Because now, rather than just staring at a Twitter application or a People app, I actually see something that's relevant. I'm like, hey, Paul just tweeted me. I'm going to go into that app. So think about that for a second. If I'm a developer, that's great because I draw users in. Maybe I'm monetizing my application with ads. Maybe I'm driving to some in-app purchases so I can make some more money. Or maybe I'm a bank that wants to drive users into filling out a mortgage application or something. So without the user, you know, by drawing that user in, I now have them captive and I can do other things with that. From a customer perspective, it shows me relevant information. It's great. I want to know what Paul's doing. I don't care about this Twitter application per se. It's an app. It's a Twitter app, one of a million. But I care about Paul. And Paul just tweeted me, and I want to know when Paul tweets me, right? So I can view his tweets, because they're always interesting. Right. Let's go back to the deck. All right. And there we go. So again, when we set out for the start screen, we had a couple goals here. One is to create a space that I love. So it's one thing to have a grid of icons, again, to launch your applications, but I want to make this start screen my own. I want to pin I want to pin the pieces together that make it part of my life. If I want, if I'm a guy that uses Twitter or wants to see what my people are up to or look at my photo albums, I want to make that mine. I don't want to make it somebody else's. So we set out with the goal to do that. I want to connect it to the things that I care about. I want it to be able to confidently launch my applications quickly and easily and be able to find it. And I want it engaging. I mean, how many people here love it when, you know, the UPS guy shows up at your door with a new package, right? I mean, everybody loves that. It's exciting. Or when you get a nice piece of mail. Or there's an update in the App Store and you're, you know, I know I kind of get excited because I want to see what new features are in there. So the same concept rings true for live tiles, right? I want to be able to show what's new on these tiles. And I want to engage that user. So people love seeing nice new things. And the result is when you look at your start screen every day, it's fresh, it's new. It's not the same boring thing that you look at every day. So from a developer perspective, we've also had some goals here. We wanted to make it simple to implement these tiles. We didn't want you to be rocket scientists. We know that a lot of developers aren't creative people. Creative's hard. I can sit there and write some code and sit in front of a computer and pound it out. But man, when I sit there and I'm looking at trying to be creative, I could sit there for days staring at a screen. We also wanted to make sure you can update it easy. So to be able to get that freshness and those notifications, be it dead simple with a few lines of code to be able to update it. And we wanted you to be able to reach millions of users. If you've got a popular app, you want to be able to scale that out and be able to push these notifications and updates to millions of users at very, very little cost. So what do I mean when I talk about tiles? So tiles represent your app to the user. So it's really important in the Windows 8 realm to think of your tiles as more than just a launcher. It's an extension of the experience that you're giving to the user. It's like the facade on a house if you're looking for a house. If you walk in and the interior of the house is amazing, if it has no curb appeal, it doesn't look great. Again, the goal is to draw users into your app, make it rich and engaging, and make them want to launch it over and over and over and over again. And of course, you want it to be easy to create an update. So a basic tile comes in two sizes. We have a square and a rectangle. And you tap on the tile to launch, just like an icon. The default tiles are static, and the way you implement the default tiles in your application is in your app manifest, you specify the graphic and the text that you want, and it's there and it's part of your application. It's there and it's static. Simple, right? Works well for launching an app, but it's kind of boring, right? But both sizes can also be alive. So there I've switched it, and you can see something now fresh. I still have my logo in the corner, but I'm showing some fresh content based on my app that's exciting and personalized to the user. So when we talk about what it means to be alive, when you build a live tile, we've created a bunch of templates for you to use. So just go back to when I said, you know, we wanted to make it easy to create, and we know that you're not all artists. We know that. So we created a bunch of templates that look amazing, that you don't have to worry about burning text on images and all that kind of stuff that you can implement quickly and leverage. And we have tons of them, and I'll show you them in a second. They're rich. They provide things like peak animations. So, you know, be able to put my text and my graphics on there and have it animate without me having to do anything, just providing my content and what's important to me. And that's kind of an extension of our whole kind of mantra with Windows 8 as well, which is this whole content before Chrome. What's important to you as a developer and as an end user is your content, not all the stuff that goes around it, not how I implement it. We wanted to make it, you concentrate on your content. So these tiles, we can have images, we support JPEG and PNG. There is a max size, of course, and also these live updates and notifications can be done either locally, which I'll show you, and also by the cloud. So here's some examples of some tiles. And the templates we provide. And you can see a big mix of them. Some of them have two lines of text, some of them have one, some of them are a mix of text and graphics, etc. Some of them have these things called badges, which I'll talk about in a second. But like, take a look at the first one. That's a graphic. right, with a little badge in the corner, the number 7. Think of a kind of app that would be great for, a photo app, a camera app, perhaps, where the last picture that I took is shown. That's great. It's exciting to the user. Rather than an icon that says camera, I see what I'm there. I see a picture of my child. It's mine. It's personal. I love it. The second one is graphics as well, but I can show multiple graphics. So maybe I have a photo album app or an event app where I'm showing multiple pictures. Again, it's personalized. I was just at a wedding and I see a great collage of some pictures of my family there. It's mine. It's personal. I want to go in and dive into that and look into it. Draws me in. And then let's look at the third one here. This is showing, again, a mixture of text and graphics. And the beauty of the templates is we make sure that it looks good, right? We, obviously, with some size constraints, I talked about the size limit a bit on the graphics, but you don't have to worry about burning that text on the images or figuring out what color or how to place that badge. We do that for you, and we make it simple. And of course, they can all have animations like that and make them look alive and fresh. So badges, what do I mean when I talk a bit about badges? There's people following me, and Paul, and that's toast notifications, by the way, folks, and we'll get into that as well. Good segue, Paul, but too early. So badges are basically overlays. So we realized I have a live tile, I'm showing some great content, but I also want another way, just a little extra way to show some status on my tile. And two ways I can show status is either by a number, 1 to 99, So a number can represent if I have messages or tweets, in the case of a Twitter app, how many unread ones I have. Great status. I instantly glance at that tile, and I know what my status is without having to go into the application. But I can also show glyphs that show things. So a couple examples here, a people app showing a number status, and a music app showing the pause button. I apologize, the little arrow is actually a thing that says badge on it, but it's in white on the background, so it doesn't show. But yeah, that's Paul's fault again. Blame everything on Paul today. The great thing is I'm in my music app. I immediately know the status. I don't have to go in there. I don't have to switch to the app or anything. Again, it's showing me the pertinent information so I can get on with my life and not have to delve into this device or this app. And, of course, we always take care of that. You don't have to worry about is my font legible? Is it in the right place? Is it aligned with my text? We take care of that with the templates, and we make it easy for you as developers to build for. So let's show a bit about how to code these live tiles. So I am going to, oops. I like making sound effects when I do this. Okay. So I am going to open up. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, that's why I was debugging. It's probably debugging Ulner's code from the previous session. Okay, so where are we? There we go. Yay. You can write in your comments, I came and watched the demo of a guy try to open Visual Studio. So I'm just going to run this to start. And this code, so one of the things, one of my goals with this talk is not to sit up here and write a bunch of code because I know a lot of people just glaze over. The other thing I wanted to do is I wanted to leverage some samples we have out there. So the samples I'm going to use today are the samples that are on the dev.windows.com. They're the Windows SDK samples. And the reason is I don't want to reinvent the wheel. And I want to be able to show you the code and have you be able to go out and grab the exact same sample. And these things are so well done because they show every possible scenario. So I'm going to walk through a bit. So first thing I'm going to do is show you that by running and executing that, you can see over here, you can see my mouse there, that is the tile that it created. So that was really compiling the app, running it, and installing it. And it's a static tile. So that stuff is defined in the manifest, and it's static. Great. It works. I can launch the app, but, you know, it's pretty boring. So let's send a notification to it. So I'm going to click this button that says Send Tile Notification with Text. And you'll see the output that is at the bottom, that XML there. That is actually the template that we've sent in. And you can see it's a very simple XML document. And the important piece is this binding portion here that says binding tile-wide text 03. That tile-wide text 03 is the actual template that we've sent in and the parameters for that template. So let's take a look at that tile. Ooh, scrolling. And there we go. Hello world, my very own tile notification. Right? Nice, simple, interesting now. I mean, there's no graphics, but it's interesting. So let's take a look at how this actually works. Stop debugging. All right. I should. Okay. Sure, question.
Sorry,
no, go ahead. Good question. So the question is, when I scrolled over, that's when the notification appeared. And so is the tiles aware of where I am on the screen? And the answer in general is no. The updates will happen. It just so happened that there's enough of a latency that when I did scroll over that it came through. Right? And that's one thing we'll talk about is that you're not necessarily guaranteed a time or a latency between those updates. Okay. Font bigger. I have a request to make my font bigger. How do I do that again?
Tools.
Options. Thank God I got a peanut gallery.
Fonts and colors is sort of a third of the way. No. Okay.
Where am I?
Fonts and colors.
Yep, there we are. And
make it to around 14.
There we go, 14-point font. There's a really old guy in the back, and he can't see. His name is Christian. He's a Microsoft employee. Okay, so back to the presentation. Let's show, yes, exactly. So let's show how this is done. So there's a couple ways you can do it. And here I show, scrolling, fat fingers. There we go. Here's our function, and these are JavaScript functions. Now, in this one, I'm going to gloss over because, yes, we can take the XML document, we can do string manipulation, and add in the parameters. Who wants to do that? Unless you're a little sadistic. So what we've done is we've created these functions in C# that you could use in your JavaScript projects as well, called notification extensions. And what we've done is we've wrapped all the tile templates into objects. So now I'm going to do some scrolling because my font for the old guy in the back is a little too big to show everything on one thing. So when we go to send that notification, which so this function's called on that button press, right? First thing we want to do is create the tile content. And we do that by using those notifications extensions and calling create tile wide text 03. So remember I showed you at the bottom it said tile wide text 03 is the template. So we've wrapped that into an object to create it. I then give it the parameters. So in this case, I'm hello world, it's my very own notification. Right? Scroll down here. Now, remember we said there's two sizes of tiles. Both sizes, both the square and the wide, can be live. So in this case, if the user changes that, so if I go out and I scroll over to my tile and I can change it to smaller, right? I still want it to be live. I still want to be able to show the notifications. I may want something different in it because it's a smaller tile, but I don't have to, especially if it's just text. So what we're doing here is we're also creating the square tile content. And we do that again by the notifications, the extensions. And these notifications extensions are included. The source code is there as well. It's included in the samples. And here I'm creating a square create tile updater. Sorry, where are we? Here. So there we go. Tile content factory. Dot create tile square text 04. So that's the template. I'm adding the content again. And then to send the notifications, first of all, I'm concatenating that content. So I'm taking the original tile content, the wide one, and adding the square content to it. So now, in essence, underneath it, I've got this XML document that describes two tiles. And then I'm calling the tile update manager and telling it to update the tile, which is this line here. I'm calling it create tile updater for application, which is one of the longest API calls probably. .update tile, and I'm passing in that content that I created. So literally, maybe 5-6 lines of code, I now have a tile that's alive and drawing users in with my content. Any questions? Great. Oh, sorry. Great. Okay, good question. So the question is, where does that content come from? And the answer is the content can come from anywhere you want. Right now I'm showing you local notifications. We'll get into push notifications, for instance. These updates happen when your app is running. So let's say I'm a news app, right? And I go into the news app, and the first thing I do is grab the latest top stories. Well, while I'm grabbing those top stories and I have the content, I may want to update the tile as well at the same time, right, for status. That answer your question? And we'll get into that. That content can also come from the cloud, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. All right. Back to the deck. Okay. So what I showed you, you noticed that by default, when I send in a notification, it overrides the previous notification and changes it, right? That works. But in the example I gave, what about a news app? I don't just necessarily have one top news story. Or in a Twitter app, I follow a lot of people. Maybe I want to see the last few notifications. So we do have this mechanism of queuing. And you can queue up to 5 notifications that will cycle through that. So here we see on the tiles on the bottom, we can see it flips through and shows me a previous notification. Same template, or it can be a different template, depending on your logic and your code, whether you're adding, you get the top 5 regardless of whatever template you send in for each of those. So you can mix and match the templates, or you can keep them the same. So let's talk a bit about secondary tiles. So secondary tiles are really cool because what it does as a developer, it allows me to build an even more personal space for the user. So, for instance, I may have a technology news app or a blog app, say Engadget, Gizmodo, or something like that. But let's say I'm only interested in a certain area of that, like a news app, for instance. Let's say I'm only interested in business and technology news. And as a user, if I've got a deep site and somebody wants to go into business and technology, and every time they open the app, they've got to open the app and then scroll to the business technology section or search for it. It doesn't give the greatest experience to my users, right? I want them to be able to get to what they want fast. So by allowing for secondary tiles, I can actually have them pin the tile, a specific tile, to my desktop that really provides some contextual information to my app and allows them to launch the app with that contextual information. And then I can do what I want with it. So for instance, I'm actually, without describing it, let me show you what I mean. So I am going to go into CTV News. So CTV News app is a great app done by one of our partners. And it's great, right? Got some great sections and everything. But let's say I'm a massive Canada AM fan, right? And I could care less about everything else CTV, but I like Canada AM, right? I can choose to pin that section. And I can give it a title. I'll call it Matthew's Canada AM. And I'll pin it to my start page. So now if I go out to the start, I can see I have a tile that represents Canada AM. Now when I click in that tile, actually just to prove there's no smoke and mirrors, I'm going to close that, and I'm going to go to Canada AM. Now it's going to take me directly to that. So it's pretty powerful if you think about it, because I can create secondary tiles anywhere I want for any type of context that I want. It doesn't necessarily have to be sections. It could be anything you want, anything that's contextual in your app. And you're providing this personalized space for the users. Again, it's going about that start screen is mine. It's part of my life. It's what I want. And you guys as developers can provide that to your users. So let's take a look at how that works with secondary tiles. So I am going to open up the sample for secondary tiles. Okay, I'm going to quickly run it. Come on. Just thinking about it. There we go. Okay, so same, we've got an SDK sample here. You guys can download this. So first thing you got to do is I'm going to pin the tile, right? Pin the secondary tile. So you'll notice one thing that UI is pretty much the same UI that came up when I tried to pin CTV News as well, the Canada AM piece. The reason is because, again, we wanted to make it easy for you guys to do this. We didn't want you to have to figure out how to show it and how to pin it. The system, that is a system-generated UI when I call the specific function. All you guys have to do as developers is pass in what that initial tile looks like. You'll notice the Canada AM one had Canada AM logo and it was wide. This one is square and just has some text, right? The other thing that you get control of is where I place that dialog box, because you want it to be intuitive to the user. You don't want me to click on that pin the start button and then all of a sudden the dialog shows up off in the corner. It doesn't make sense, right? People are following me like crazy. So we give you the control of that, but the creative pieces and everything to make it consistent, we provide for you. So I'm going to give this a name, a title. I'm going to call it, oops. Do that again. I dismissed it. Matthew's secondary tile, booyah. Okay, and I'm going to pin that. Now if I go out, start, you'll see Matthew's secondary tile there. And what's great is, you know, just like any other tile, it'll launch my app. But one thing you'll notice, it actually launched and selected the scenario 5 there, which was to show the activation arguments. And the activation arguments are secondary tile.logo, which I'll show you when we get into the code, and as well as what time it was pinned at. And that's because I chose to send in that information, but to show you where that contextual information comes from. So I'm going to show you how that code works quickly. Pin tile. Okay. So the first thing we're doing here is we are grabbing what logos we want. So those logos right now using the MS AppX URI, so those are contained in my app package itself. I could also use web ones if I wanted to. I'm also getting the small logo as well. I'm getting the current time because that's part of the activation arguments that I sent in. Now here's where I actually create the arguments. So these can be anything I want. So I've chosen to give the tile ID, which is usually a smart thing to do. It's specific, it's a unique ID to that secondary tile, as well as the time it was pinned. But that could be contextual information, that could be the section you want it to go to, that could be anything you want, you can add to it. Anything that your app needs to know where it needs to go when somebody clicks on that secondary tile. And then all I'm doing is calling this function here. StartScreen.secondaryTile, and I'm passing in all the information, I'm passing in the tile arguments, the default text that I want there, as well as the whether I want to show the name on the logo, etc., and the URI of the logo. So that's creating the object. And then there's a couple things I need to do. Is one here, I'm setting just some parameters around the foreground. And then the last thing I need to do before I actually show that UI is, or that dialog box, is where do I want to show it? Right? So I said, you get control as a developer because it makes sense to show it where it is. Best practice is obviously show it where you click to pin, but you may want to do something different with that. So what I'm doing here is we're getting the bounding rectangle of that button, the one that says pin the tile, and then we're just passing it in where we call to actually create that secondary tile, which is request create for select async, and that's where the actual UI is shown. And you can see we get the promise back, and it says if it's created, we can do something, else we can do something else. So you also get that callback to say, was the tile actually created? Was it not created? Did the user dismiss it? And you can react to it in the way you want. Any questions? Okay, great. Sorry? No. You can pin as many as you want, I believe. I don't think there's a limit to the number of secondary tiles, no. I mean, obviously within reason. Sorry, question?
Yeah, let's say that you have a custom class. Mm-hmm. You pass an instance there as an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to save it?
I believe, you mean to like the startup arguments? So the question is can you pass a custom class to the startup arguments? I don't believe so. I believe it's pretty much... Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the answer is if you're going to pass classes or things like that, best to use JSON or something that's textual in that way. Okay. All right. So that was secondary tiles. And these secondary tiles can be updated as well. So any notifications or stuff that we showed you to go to the main tile, you can go do it to a secondary tile as well. And there is just a create notification for secondary tile, and you pass it in the tile ID we created, and you can send specific notifications for the secondary tiles as well. Okay. So let's talk a bit about some best practices when creating tiles. Keep the content engaging. Display new content. Keep it fresh. Keep it live. Keep the people coming back and opening your app again and again and again. When you're on your main tile, reference content that kind of the user can find when they get into the app at the beginning. So for instance, I have a news app, it's pinned, and I see breaking news, you know, fighting breaks out in the Middle East, and it's interesting to me. It's an interesting news article. I click on it to go in, and now I don't find it. Now I've got to dig into some other section. That doesn't make sense, right? And if you can't figure out why you're doing that, then you probably need a secondary tile in some areas and give them the ability to pin it a secondary tile to what's important to them. But keep on the main tile, keep it what you can find on the first area of your application. Keep the content ignorable. I may not see a tile update. So it's not something, for instance, if a VoIP call comes in or there's an IM notification, that's not what tiles are for. That's for toast notifications, which we'll get into in a second. Because it needs to be ignorable. I may not, the device may not be on. I may be scrolled to the other side. I may not see it at that point in time. And the notification may be fleeting. If it's not alive, just use a square tile. I mean, there's no reason to take up the user start screen with a massive rectangle. It give them the ability, use the square tile. It's good enough. It's big enough to launch, etc. And it doesn't take up as much space. And the number one way to get rejected from certification is to have ads in your live tiles. Don't do it. You know, it was when Windows 8 first came out, I think it was the biggest question from partners. They got excited about this concept of live tiles because they wanted to push ads to it. Don't do it. Again, we created the start screen to be personalized to the user, to make it their personal space, to make it their own. If you start pushing ads to them, it just gets annoying and they won't like it, and they'll probably unpin your app anyways. But even if it gets certified. Any questions about live tiles at all before we move on? Question in the back.
Is the live tile a separate application? I'm just wondering about the sort of relationship between the tile and, you know, the lid and the app that it's associated with. And if you have a lot of live tiles, would you eventually start to load on the tablet or whatever?
Actually, that's a really good question. So the live tiles... So the question really was around, are the live tiles a separate application? How are they related to your app? And if you have a lot of live tiles, does it place a load on the system? So the tiles represent your app. I mean, they really are the kind of the extension of what used to be an icon. So they are related directly to your app itself. They aren't a separate application. There is a thing that we are going to get into when you do push notifications where these tiles can get updated without your app running. So in a way, they are part of your application, they are related, but the system can take over the updating of the tiles without your app running too. So there's a bit of a bridge there. Now, the question is, can your live tiles kind of overrun your system? I haven't seen it personally, but I can see, I don't know if you guys have seen that there. I do know we have provisions in the new, if I switch out here, oops, I keep forgetting I'm already in the desktop, and I show the task manager, right? If I look at app history here, now this may be small for some people to see, there's that section right here, it says tile updates, and that actually shows me the bandwidth that's used. Now, will it overrun a system from local notifications? I don't know, that'd be a lot of tiles. Because don't forget, each graphic can only be 150K. So it's, and the rest is text. So it's and it's XML strings. So it's not a lot of data. You'd have to have enough tiles to where your start screen is unmanageable from a user perspective before it would overrun a decent system. The only thing to be concerned about, and that's probably why we have that there, is when you start looking at push notifications and when you start thinking about devices now, because Windows 8 is ubiquitous across tablets, desktops, laptops. We have Windows RT on low power devices. So when you start thinking about things like 3G and broadband and bandwidth restrictions, that's when it can come into play. So we put that there so you can monitor how much tile is being how much memory is being used. So as a user, if I see some app that's using a lot of bandwidth and I'm on 3G all the time, I can turn off notifications for that and it gives me that choice. Does that answer your question? Okay, perfect. To take the content of the tile? No, because for local notifications, it has to be done within the app. And when we get into push notifications, you'll see there's a lot of authentication that has to go on, and there's unique security IDs for your specific app that you need. So unless you give out the security IDs, and there's some best practices as to why you don't want to do that for that very reason, you'd be okay. Am I doing okay for time? Okay, perfect. So toast notifications. So we saw live tiles. We saw how they can update and be alive and show some great information to the user. But if you remember, I also said they have to be safely ignorable because I may not see them. So what if I need to grab a user's attention? What if I'm getting an IM call or something that's breaking that I want to interrupt the user now and say, look at this, right? That's where toast notifications come into play. They are used to get the attention immediately of the user, but the great news is that the user also has the ability to either turn them off for an app. Let's say, you know, I'm in a presentation and there's a work colleague who decides to Twitter bomb me during the presentation and I'm getting toast notifications, I can go into that application and say, you know what, or into the settings and say, for my Twitter app, I'm turning off notifications because it's getting annoying. Not that that would actually happen, but but it's an example. But what these toast notifications do as well is they allow you, just like Live Tiles did, to contextually get into your app. So I've grabbed your attention, I could either dismiss it because I think, no, it's not that important, or I clicked on it, and now I'm providing contextual information to get to where I want to go in the app. And again, we'll show how they're easy to invoke from local, and then we'll show you how to do it from the cloud as well. So just like Live Tiles, we knew you weren't artists, but a lot of you, some of you might be designers, but a lot of you aren't. So we wanted to make it easy, and we did that by creating the same template structure that we did for Live Tiles for toast notifications. And you can see, they're nice. They look great. We've got a mix of badges, graphics, text, the same, just the same we did with tiles. And it allows you to render them in the way you want, to show them the way you want within those templates. So let's take a look at a demo of some toast notifications, if you haven't already seen Paul's tweets. Okay. Where are we? Toast sample. Okay, again, let's run it, build and run it. Same SDK, beautiful SDK samples. I'm going to send a piece of toast. There we are. You might have heard the sound too if you got good ears. And you'll notice it fades away. I'll send it again. I can dismiss it. by swiping it away. I can also dismiss it if I mouse over and there's an X in the corner. So as a user, I get that choice. Or I can click it. And what it does is it goes into my app and sends that contextual information similar to the way the live tile is. Now, you might be saying, OK, well, you know, you sent a piece of toast there, but you know, let's say I'm building an app like Skype, like a VoIP app, and someone's calling me, and I want to get their attention, but you know, 5 seconds to decay is not going to do it because people would have to react right away. So we do have a provision for sending long-duration toasts as well. So there we go. And the decay is around 25 seconds for this one, so long enough for to grab somebody's attention and keep them there while something's happening, and it gives me a chance to get into it. But obviously, you don't want to use those as a best practice. The quickest way for somebody to turn off notifications for your app is to do long notifications for things that shouldn't be long notifications. You want to get in and get out and have the choice of doing that. I can add images to mine. I can add package images, right? That's just a checkered images. I can add web images. So this, I won't show you that because I don't have a URL handy, but basically I could add any web image and put it in my toast as well. So it gives you that flexibility. I have 5 minutes left.
Really?
Okay. So...
Never mind.
Okay. Never believe a coworker, folks. Okay. So let's... He Twitter bombs me. Okay, so I'm going to show you how that... it seemed pretty fast. Okay, so let's look how that works. And I'm going to show you how simple it is again. So once again, we're going to use the notification extensions because I don't like rolling XML, and I always mess it up, and it becomes a nightmare to debug. And one of the interesting things with these tiles and notifications is it's good to use the extensions because as a lot of us when Windows 8 first came out started learning is that when you send in the wrong XML and you mess it up, you don't get an error. It just doesn't work. So you can imagine before these notification extensions when you're doing some big updates, especially when you start getting into push notifications and it's not working, you can pull your hair out. So unless you're sadistic, use these notification extensions. They're in C#, but they will work from JavaScript projects as well. So here's what I'm doing. All I'm doing is creating an instance of the Toast Notification Manager. And then this one does it a little differently because depending on the template that's passed in, it creates a different. It creates the different example. So we use number one. So all I'm doing is call the notification extensions to create toast text 01. Again, that represents that template. Again, all these templates are actually defined in the documentation. So if you're not sure what toast temp text 01 actually is, you can actually go online to the SDK documentation. It will show you examples and show you the elements that it contains. So you can pick the one that's right for you. I add the text to it. And then we scroll down, and all I'm saying is create the notification here, and then show it. And that's it. So except for all the if-else to pick the right template, it's maybe 5 lines of code to create a piece of toast and notify the user. Pretty simple stuff. Question? Yes. Great question. So the question is, can I see a history of these notifications? And the answer is no. We don't keep a history of the notifications. And that's where potentially you can see the interaction between notifications and live tiles. So let's give you an example. Somebody calls me on Skype, and I get a toast notification that's coming up, and it's saying, Paul's calling me on Skype to tell me I only have 5 minutes when I really have 25 minutes. and I either don't see it, or device is off or whatever. So No, I can't go see the history of who called, but that's where my app should update the live tiles and maybe use a badge to show a number of how many missed calls I have. Or maybe scroll through and say, you've missed 6 calls or something like that. So no, we don't have a history, but you can see the interaction between the two. Any questions? Question.
Can your application subscribe to that notification or the toast?
Can my application subscribe to a notification or toast? So what you're describing is kind of more of a push notification than a local notification, and we'll get into that in a second. So when you think of a cloud-based scenario where I have some process somewhere getting some information and I'm pushing that down to my users based on what interests me, absolutely. That's more of the subscription model, and that's where push comes into play, and we'll show that in a second. Okay? All right, let's move on. Okay, so some best practices for toast notifications. They're used for real time, right? Again, they're fleeting. They decay. So use it for something you need to grab the user's attention now. But make it glanceable. Don't get, what do they say at the Build conference? Don't get all Tolstoy on people, right? These aren't the time to write a manifesto. Give them the information they need to know what's going on, and the rest should be the deeper dive when I click on it. Sorry. Give them enough information to decide to react, though. So it's kind of finding that balance between giving them enough information and not giving them giving them too much. And use the badges. So that's where we talk about the interaction. So if you've missed the call, use the badges on your tiles to show that you've missed the call. And show the toast when it's in the background. I've seen some apps that show pieces of toast when the app is in the foreground. It's not necessarily... It's not like a thing that will cause you to not get certified necessarily. Don't promise that, but it's not a best practice. Really, toasts are used for when your app is in the background, and that's why a lot of times it makes sense for push, and we'll show that in a second. And don't assume, back to the question we had, don't assume that the user's going to see it because there are no history.
Matt.
Yes, question. Right.
But that you have control over the entire Chrome. You can do it anywhere on the screen, not just in the toast.
Right. Good comment. So Christian's comment was that, for the people on the stream, was that, you know, if you are in the app, there's other ways of showing things besides using a toast notification from a best practices scenario. So in a game, if you hit an achievement, you could show it on screen versus if it's in the background, you might want to pop up a toast. Okay? So let's talk a bit about push notifications and the Windows push notification service. So let's take a step back for a second. Everything I've shown you right up until now has been local notifications. My app has to be running. And there are some provisions where I could have background processes running that could do tile updates, but they're very restrictive in Windows 8. And for all intents and purposes, your app still has to be running. So that works. It works in the news scenario where I go in and I'm getting the top news stories and I update my tile. Not so much for the toast because we want your app to be in the background, so unless your app's running. So a lot of times it makes sense to do push notifications. We can also do schedule notifications. And schedule notifications, great example of that is the alarm app that's included. I could set a notification to happen at a certain point in time. Now, one thing to keep in mind is we do the best effort to notify that piece of toast or that tile update at a specific time, but there's no guarantee in the latency. So if you need something that's absolutely real time and to the millisecond, this is not the mechanism for you. Okay? Sorry, the timings keep moving my slide. And of course, push notifications. So that push notifications are when my app isn't running. So I have the ability to update that tile or send that piece of notification. My app's not even running. And that's a real power of our platform, and that's really where it comes into play. So in order to do that, we can make use of the Windows Push Notification Service. And this is something that we built to really make you guys look like superheroes from a developer perspective when it comes to doing push notification. What it does is it enables the delivery of tiles and toast notifications over the internet Your app does not have to be running, like I said, and it does a lot of the heavy lifting. The WNS, the notification services, both the client portions that are part of Windows 8 and the push notification service does a lot of that plumbing and communication for you and really allows you to concentrate on your content and your business logic. And we'll show you how that does that in a second. And the great news is free. Everybody loves free, right? Especially developers. And it also scales to millions of users. So that was important. We wanted to make it scalable. So how do push notifications work? So there's basically three steps when I'm doing a push notification. And the first one is, in my app, I got to request a unique ID for my application for my specific tile. If it's in the case of a secondary tile, it's a second, it's a different address or different URI. But for Toast Notifications or general, the main tile apps, it's a specific URI as well. So I request that. And that's something sent from the notification service, and it's a unique ID for me. Then I have to register with my cloud service and get kind of my business logic in there and tell it that these are the addresses I want to send notifications to. I've got to authenticate with the Windows Push Notification Service and then get my notification sent. So let's deep dive a little bit into kind of each piece. So when I'm requesting a URI, what that is, it's a URI that represents my tile, my app, and me. So it's per user, per application. In the secondary tile scenario, it's per user, per secondary tile. So it's like a unique address. We request this when we run the app each time. And the reason it's best practice to do this each time is the expiry on them is 30 days. So if I haven't run my app in 30 days, that URI expires, and it's dead in the water. So, and that's just to save for, to keep things, if I'm not using that app, if it hasn't been open for 30 days, why keep doing push updates, et cetera, if I'm not even opening the app? So it's best practice every time a user opens the app to request those URIs. Those are generated by the WPNS. We don't generate it on ourselves. And they're used opaquely in the app to send in to identify where I'm sending these notifications. So here's some code of what it looks like from the client. And I put in brackets client because we're going to switch a bit to client and server side so you guys can kind of visualize where these pieces are running. And it's as simple as that. So all I'm doing is getting a promise to calling create push notification channel for application async, which wins the Emmy for probably one of the longest API calls I've ever seen. And then when the promise returns, what I'm doing is I have a channel now. And the channel contains a URI and the expiry date. And then here, I'm calling the function update channel URI, which is another custom piece of code. So this is not required, but this is what I'm calling to then update for the next step. Any questions about channel URIs? No? OK. And that's kind of what one looks like. So it's just a URI with a unique token, just an address. So second step, we talked about registering with my cloud service. And this is where all the nitty-gritty is. So anything that's in the, anything that's kind of green there is what you're writing. Anything that's light blue is what we provide. So that cloud service is important because we need a place to store these URIs. We need a place to store the address of people and apps that want updates. But if this was a real app, we would also want to store kind of parameters around that. So if I have Matthew's URI here, what does Matthew want pushed? Right? Is it breaking news? Is it a specific section? Is it updates? You know, what kind of things? And that's your business logic. That's what runs in your cloud service. So at the end of it, I have almost like a database table of URIs and parameters that go with it. This should be done securely, obviously. And again, the business logic is up to you to create. And this is kind of an example of how to do it. Obviously, it would differ based on what you're using as your cloud service. We'd obviously prefer you to use Azure, and I'll show you some examples of how you can get started quickly with that. But all I'm doing here is giving my server URL. There's my web service to register. I'm giving it a payload in JSON, and I'm calling XHR to post it to my service. And in the end, I've got a piece of data that that's what my user's preferences are, as well as their address. So now I've got all that information. So I've got millions of users out there. They've all said they enabled push notifications. They've all given their preferences. And I have my business logic and my cloud service. Now I want to send an update, right? I've got a breaking news story that my cloud service got. And I want to send that out to my users who've registered for these push notifications, whether they're Toast or Tiles. So what do I need to do? I need to authenticate with the push notification service. And we do that by using our unique security identifiers and access tokens that we get when we register our app. And I'll show you that in a second. So when you register your app in the store, you get the ability to go and kind of configure the push notifications. So here you could say, there's what my app is, there's the publisher, and then I click accept. And then in the next step, what returns is a couple things. Is my package ID, my security ID, right, which is this big long URL here, and as well as my client secret. Those are the two things, and those back to the question about security, et cetera. Those are the two things that you do not give out to anybody, right? Those are secure. If they got out, then they could be spammed. So these are used when you register to the Windows Push Notification Service. And we do that by posting to the WPNS. And basically it looks like this. We post just a regular post to login.live.com. Oops. And you can see there's my identifier and my secret in the post. Simple, straight HTTP post. And I'll talk a bit about how we make that a little easier with Windows Azure in a second. From there, I get a response. So I'm authenticated. I'm good to go. The WPNS sends me an access token. And that access token is what I use to actually push the notifications. So now I'm ready to push. Now what do I do? Again, it's a simple post. So now I've got the access token. I know what I want to push. I've done my business logic, and I've got the specific content that I want to push out to the user, and all I have to do is post that, adding the specific URI, the channel URI for that specific user. Remember, we had a database of those now in our cloud service from registering with our cloud service. I have to send in the authorization token that we got back when we authorized, and those authorization tokens are unique per app, and then. If you notice, that XML payload there is a simple template, and all I'm doing is setting a badge value of 34. That could be a tile template, that could be a toast template, whatever. And that's it, and I get the piece of toast there. That's in the bottom. So I get 34 added to it. There's a few moving parts there, but in actual fact, once you've got that cloud service and your logic, the rest of it is gravy. I mean, it is really simple. And if you think about it, my app's not running, and I'm pushing relevant information to users, to potentially millions of users, with very little code. Any questions? Sure.
I'm not familiar with JavaScript.
Okay.
Is there any other function on the server-side code instead of JavaScript?
Absolutely. So those SDK samples, we have both. Let's just repeat the questions. The question was, if you're not familiar with JavaScript, do we have XAML and C# examples? Absolutely. So those SDK samples that I'm showing are available for C# and XAML as well. And the calls are almost identical. They are, in fact, I believe the names of the APIs are identical. So you could pretty much derive it from what I'm showing you now. And from a server-side perspective, I'll show you how we make it a little bit easier to create the cloud services using Azure and our toolkits. Does that answer your question? Okay, perfect. Sure, one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, can you say that again? The naming Metro, right? Yeah, no, we don't use that term to describe the new UI anymore. We call it the modern UI. or Windows start screen apps or Windows apps or with Windows Store apps is the official. Yes, we don't use the Metro term anymore. You could use it if you want. We're not allowed to. Yeah, it's being recorded, and I did. In context. So once we push that, we got that toast, we get a response back from the WPNS saying, great, 200, okay, we got it, it's good. What this doesn't represent, and this is an important point, is this doesn't mean it was delivered to the user. And this is, again, a thing I need to stress, is just because you pushed it out and the WPNS says, yep, I got it, it's good, we'll send it out, it means it's queued for sending. It means it will send it. We try to send it nearly real time. So in a lot of cases, you will get it almost at the same moment. The problem is there are certain conditions where your notifications won't be sent. We do a lot of things in Windows 8, especially in low-power devices and ARM-based devices, if your battery level is low, if your network bandwidth is low, those kind of things. We shut it down. The device may be off. The user might have shut it off or shut it down or turned off notifications completely, right? So this does not guarantee. There's no way of guaranteeing. So if you need to guarantee absolute real time, then you need to build some custom mechanism for your app because push notifications are not the way to guarantee that. Okay? So you saw push notifications to live tiles are almost the same. I mean, really, you're dealing with XML templates, whether we're doing them locally and we're creating a tile updater or a piece of toast or sending a badge or we're pushing it down. All we're doing is sending the system these updated templates, these XML templates with our content. So how do we make it easy to do? And especially when I talk about push, the moving piece, the big kind of question mark is that cloud service, right? And everyone's probably groaning, oh, I got to create a cloud service. But we do make it easy with some caveats. Okay, and what we've done is, what if I were to be able to just use constructors and use code that looks like this? So basically, say new toast notification, give it a toast type, give it an image, and send it. Right? That would be great. So that looks almost like the code using the notification extensions that I showed you doing the local notifications. Right? So we have the ability to do this if you download the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. And the caveat I'm going to give you, and it's a big caveat, is that the Azure Toolkit, and Ulner's smiling over here, for Windows 8 does not work yet with the RTM version of Windows 8. So you can gander at code and love looking at it, but we haven't revved it yet. And the reason is because we're doing a lot of work, the product team's doing a lot of work to get it ready, and I'll show you what does work and what does make it easy to create them. And eventually this functionality, sorry, let's go back. This functionality will be rolled into that, be able to send that piece of toast. And that is Windows Azure Mobile Services. So recently we announced Windows Azure Mobile Services, and what we've done is taken kind of the common things that developers do. So I believe Atlee talked about it yesterday in his talk. And what we've done is taken common tasks like authentication. You always want to authenticate in some way. Do you want to authenticate using Microsoft IDs or Facebook authentication, those kind of things. You need to store data. Mobile developers are always looking for ways to store data and access data, and also to do notifications. So we've done that with mobile services. And here are the links. There is, I believe it's a 90-day trial you guys can try, but it's almost... It's so dead simple. In about 10 minutes, you can have a push notification infrastructure cloud service going. What I linked here to is the homepage. So check out mobile services and all it can offer. And here's the two getting started with mobile services. So that's setting it up, and that's also getting started with push notifications. And you'll look like a superhero in literally 10 minutes. So I encourage everybody to check that out. So some things to remember. We talked a bit about the fact that you won't necessarily know whether it's delivered. So reliability and latency is not guaranteed. So again, if you need real time in your app, that's not the way to do it. The notification service will hold up to 5 notifications in the case of tiles. So just like we showed when you can enable queuing in your My Local Live Tile updates and show 5, The push notification service, if you're updating tiles via push, will do that as well. Sure. Yes. Question. Go ahead. No, okay, so the question is, if I push more than 5, what will happen? Will I get an error? No. So what will happen is the first template that you pushed will get lopped off the stack. Okay? So if you have personalized information, sorry, timing keeps moving the slide. If you have personalized information, send it right away. Right? So don't queue it up. If IM calls, somebody's calling me on Skype, a Twitter notification, those kind of things, send it right away. But best practice, if you have something like news or something that's going out to a lot of people, so personalized information is just for me. I'm calling Paul on Skype, and he needs to know it right away. That's for him. But a news update may go out to a million people. So the best practice is to gather that thing and send it no more than every 30 minutes. And the reason is because it can get annoying if intervals come up, especially with toast notifications. If I'm getting toast after toast after toast every 5-10 minutes, then it gets annoying. And again, it's the quickest way for a user to turn off notifications in your app. So you want to be cognizant of that. Okay? So just a bit of note on Azure. The reason I'm harping on this and to check out mobile services is because Azure is awesome for us mobile developers. We've done a lot of work in Windows 8. We talked about the templates and how it makes you look good. You can do them easy. But we really, when you connect it to Azure, it's almost like that missing link. That missing link to go from, you know, what a lot of the apps do in the store, local notifications. When I open the app and then for the next 20 days I've got stale news stories on my tile, to a truly awesome app that is pushing down fresh and new and exciting data. And again, what was the whole point of my talk here was to make your apps alive and to get those users going back and back and opening your app again and again and again. So you get the hits, you make money, and people get excited about using your app. So definitely check out Azure. And the one great thing about it is it scales. So if you put a great app up there and all of a sudden you blow up to millions of users, it's a matter of going into that dashboard and increasing your compute power and calling it a day. Okay? So let's do a bit of recap. Use the tiles to engage your users. Use them for more than an icon. Other platforms that shall remain nameless have icons that launch app. They work great to launch apps. But let's use your tiles to really be an extension of your application now. Use toast notifications. Get the attention immediately of your users, whether it's via push or local. And use push to reach millions and millions of users and really turn that good app into a great app by keeping content fresh. And bottom line is, make your app alive. Make it alive. Make it look like something's happening. Make me excited as a user to want to look at my start screen and see what's new and going on with your app rather than just staring at a blank logo every time. So just a couple resources. We talked about Windows Azure Mobile Services, so check out that link. Download the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. Not yet, because it doesn't work with RTM. So keep an eye on that, though. It's on CodePlex to see when we will support it for that. And also, obviously, check out the Windows 8 documentation. It's got everything there from the description of the tile templates to how to do the notifications. You can also download all the samples that I showed today, as well as more. And I only scratched the surface, really, with some of the samples, to show the different iterations on how to do the different tiles with the different templates and to show the context when you click into it. And they're great examples and have all the code in there. So definitely check those out. A couple things to note. The developer movement, join it. You can earn points and win some cool stuff. This is the legal slide. And here's my eval. So please go there. I welcome feedback. And in the end, thank you all for joining and taking the time and hearing about live tiles.